Saints. Oh, it's so good to see everyone here this morning. Well, the Lord brought us through that cold weather, amen? Now we get some sunshine. Now I get to get out there in that garden and do some gardening, amen? Maybe so and maybe no. I don't know. We'll see. It's so good to see everyone here this morning. We invite you to our service, and we want you to enjoy the worship experience with us, amen? A question always comes to my mind before service, and I ask the Lord, Lord, why am I here? Why am I here? And the Lord tells me, you're here to give worship and praise to me. Amen? Because that's what he wants us to do. We're not here for any other reason. We're not here to waste time or whatever. We're here to praise the Lord. Amen? And saying that, let me invite you to look at a scripture with me, please, if you have your Bibles. I saw one person, I'm not going to say who that was, had their Bible with them. How many of you brought your Bible with you this morning? Oh, okay. Right? Amen. Right? Well, I stand corrected. I thought only one person brought their Bible with them. Anyway, look in your Bible. The name of the is Proverbs. Chapter 3. And then we're going to look at verse 5. We're going to see what the Lord has for us. Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 5. Okay. Amen. Are you ready? Amen. Let me ask you to do this. Would you please stand in honor of God's word? Amen. Amen. Stand in honor of God's word. Listen for God's word. Starting at chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord and shun evil. And this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your crops. And then he says, and your barns will be filled and overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. You may be seated. The Lord invites you to trust him, and when you trust him, he's telling you that he will make your path straight. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We give thanks to you, gracious and merciful Heavenly Father. Oh, what an opportunity, what a privilege it is, Lord, to be able to come to the throne of grace and just say thank you, Lord. Thank you for being merciful to us. Thank you for providing us with the things we need. Thank you so much for loving us. And we pray, Lord, that as we go forward, that you would be with us and help us, Lord, to worship you in spirit and truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man, this time would you pass the peace to each other?
May we strive to live lives that honor your name demonstrating through your actions that we are worthy of your trust. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you, Jafar. Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storms, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on. Precious Lord, linger near when my life is almost gone. Hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the dark and the night draws near, and the day is past and gone. At the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead.
Please be seated. 16:10-12. Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Given an account of your management because you cannot manage yourself any longer.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their house.' So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, 'How much do you owe my house, master?' 900 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it from your 150. Then he asked his second, "And how much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had asked shrewdly. "For the people of this world, For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings." Here is the key verses. Whoever can be trusted with your little can be trusted with very much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money."
Amen.
Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. How are y'all this morning? Great. Awesome. Y'all had a good week? Did you have a good week over there? Yeah? All right. So this week, we're going to talk about honesty. What is honesty? What if you're honest? What does that mean? So be kind to one another. But honest is telling the truth, right? And so if you're dishonest, what is that? Yeah, so if you're dishonest, you're not telling the truth, right? So let's practice something. Your grandma asked you if you cleaned your room, but you really know you didn't. And you tell her you did. Is that honest or dishonest? Dishonest. Good. What about if you give your brother the candy that your mom said, and then she asks you, did you give your brother your candy? And you say yes. Is that honest or dishonest? It's honest. And what if your brother says you didn't give him the candy? Is that honest or dishonest? Dishonest. Right. All right. So y'all understand. So the passage that they're talking about today is about a gentleman that was not being, so we can be dishonest with our words, but we can also be dishonest in our actions. So how can we be dishonest in our actions? Something you didn't, that's dishonest, right? Yes. All right. So what about if I go to the store and that stuff is not mine and I take it and I don't pay for it? Is that dishonest? That's dishonest because I should have paid for it, right? What about if your friend at school has a pencil that you really, really want and you take it? Is that dishonest? Yes, because you took it. Now, what if the friend gave you the pencil and then you took it? Is that dishonest? No, it's honest because he gave it to you. But if it's not yours to take, you shouldn't take it. So that's an action of being dishonest. And then we can also lie, which is dishonest, right? Telling fibs. Whether they're little fibs or big fibs, they're still fibs, right? So let's talk about today. So the passage that we're going to talk about today is that there's a gentleman that is working for someone, and he's not being very honest in the way that he's collecting the money, or he even goes as far as telling them to change the amount of money that they owe. And that's not fair, because why? Because it's not his to dictate that, right? That is like stealing. So, that was enough of that. So I think we should wrap it up. So basically what we're doing is, so we're going to be honest, right? The right way is to be honest. She went back to her grandma. So the right way is to be honest, right? So we need to live in a life that we're being honest and we're doing things that God would love for us to do, right? So we're not taking from our friends, and we're going to be kind, and we are... don't kick. No, don't be angry. Yes. Yes. All those things, right? So let's make sure that this week we try really, really hard to be honest in our words and our actions. Okay? All right. Let's take prayer. God, help us to remember what Jesus taught us about honesty. And help us to be honest in every situation, big or small. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you. That was very good. Thank you. Amen. Amen. You see so much joy and happiness in these little ones' eyes, amen? Just to see them smile and just kind of, and then you think about all the things that we're going through as adults, and you wonder about these dear children. That's why the Lord wants us to be very special and take special care of them, amen? Because they are His little children. That's Liam and Ethan and what's that little one's name there? Eve. So glad to have her. Eve was just full of energy there. And we could only hold her for so long. Amen. We're going to be talking this morning about the parable of the shrewd manager. And more specifically, we're going to be talking about, can God trust you? Can God trust you? Now, I have a story that I'd like to impart to you this morning. It's not a very long story, and it's one that involves me about trust and how I come to learn so much about trust as a young man. As a young man, I was in charge of the household with my two sisters. So knowing that, I decided to have a party. I had a party. Wasn't supposed to. Well, we didn't have anything to have a party with. So I went down to the local Safeway station store, and I did something that was dishonest. And I stole the party goods. Well, I stole the party goods and put them all out there on the table. We were all having a really great time. But I forgot one very important thing. My dad was coming home. And when he come home, he saw all that stuff out there on the table. You know, of course, everybody pointed the finger at me. But anyway, he made me go down to the Safeway store. I'll never forget this. I can still feel the shame. And he took me up to the manager. And he says, I want you to apologize to him for what you did. I apologize, the tears and crying and going on. But he made me apologize. Then, after I got home, he said something that I'll never forget. He says, Ted, I can't trust you now. I can't trust you now. And from that day on, I made it a point to quit stealing and to do things to win, you know, my dad's favor. I'm telling you to say this. Can God trust you? Has He given you some things that you need to take care of that you haven't taken care of? Now, we're going to look at a parable here that's, I got to admit to you, when I first read it, I had to read it two or three times because I wondered, what in the world is Jesus trying to tell me here? Is He approving of this person, of this manager? But I just had to dig a little bit deeper. So we're going to get into that parable, and find out what the Lord is talking about here. Our scripture is Luke 16, 1 through 13. And we the question that I've already asked you is, can God trust you? Can He trust you? Can He trust you with the things that He's placed at your feet? Your money, your children, your finances, your home, all those things, your property. Can He trust you with those things? And so, when's the last time that you thought about trusting God? You know, and the way this world is going, it's probably been pretty recent that you had to say, okay, Lord, this world gone crazy, so I got to trust you. So the question for you today is, can God trust you? And this is a very difficult question to answer, and because a lot of us don't even trust ourselves, amen? A lot of us, we don't even trust ourselves. So how could God trust what we don't? But for some strange reason, God's plan was and continues to be a one where He uses the fallible people like us, like you and I, to build His kingdom, to build His church, to share the gospel, and to be ambassadors of reconciliation to a lost and dying world, a hurting world. can he do this? You see, he's been using imperfect people for thousands of years. And we're going to see today that he's just got a few things to say about why trust matters just as much as they did 2,000 years ago. And believe me, the Lord definitely wants you to trust him. It's, okay, so our main passage, it comes from Luke 16, verses 1 through 13. But this comes from a larger portion of Scripture where Jesus, he's doing a whole bunch of teaching. And he's telling, he's doing this teaching through parables and stories. And this particular one is called the parable of the shrewd manager. Now stay with me on this, because this gets kind of, gets a little weird. It says, and one of the first things and the primary lesson that we're going to learn this morning is that little things matter. The little things you do, they do matter. They matter to God. In Luke 16, 1 and 2, he says, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be managers any longer. So this rich man was pretty upset, and he wanted to know, what have you been doing with the stuff that I gave you? What have you been doing with the things that that I want you to manage? So now it's interesting, but this guy's in trouble, and he's got a lot of explaining to do to the rich man. But what do you think he did? How do you think the rich man came up to be so fed up with him? It's probably because there was a lot of little things and a lot of little decisions that he made that added up to big decisions and other problems that caused him not to take care of his boss's property and his money. So he and this rich man, he's heard one story too many, and that's it. He says, come on in and give an account of yourself. You know, some of us may have went through that today. There may be some in here who've been managers or been in charge of things. And that one last thing, that's it. That's it. You're fired. You know, I told you to do this and I told you to do this. Now give an account of yourself. And that's maybe what this person was doing. You see, now, on the other hand, have you ever been the person on the other side of the coin, the one in trouble? Have you ever pushed maybe a parent or a boss over the edge where they made you give an account of what you're doing? And it's interesting because it's usually not just one thing, but it's a whole lot of little bitty things that add up that gets us to the proverbial end of our rope. And this parable introduces us to the concept that little things do matter. How many of you right now understand that little things do matter in your life? Amen. I do. And the decisions that you make, whether they be little or small, they matter. And they add up to be big things. And pretty soon you're in big trouble and you're going to do like this manager said. You're going to say, what in the world am I going to do now? What am I going to do? You know. So here's what this guy did. Now, if you read Luke 16, 3 through 7, it says, the manager said to himself, what shall I do now? My master is taking away my job and I'm not strong enough to dig. Isn't that something? You know, a lot of times before we open our mouth to do something, we ought to make sure that we're able to do it. Amen? I was always told something about working. My dad used to always tell me, Ted, never quit a job until you find another one. Never do that. And I had to find that out the hard way. You know, what are you going to do now? He says, I don't know what I'll, I know what I'll do. He says, when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their house. So he's got a plan. He's got a plan. He says, 900, he says, so he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 900 gallons of olive oil. He says, okay, well, cut that down and make it 400. You see, he's trying to get in good with this guy, so when the manager comes home and kicks him out to the curb, he's got somewhere to go. And then the other guy says, the second he says, how much do you owe my master? He says, 1,000 bushels of wheat. And he told him, take your bill and make it 800. So now, it's interesting because he's taking money out of his master's pocket. So how can this be? How can this be good? How can this man commend him for that? So he assumes that if he cuts enough deals and he gives enough favors, that he'll have a backlog of favors that he can call when the going gets tough. You know, I can go to this person because I helped him and he's going to help him. Now, it's interesting because this type of shrewdness is probably what got him in trouble in the first place. Amen? This type of thinking and decision making. But let's move on with it. He says, even more amazing in this parable is how the boss commends him for it. Luke 16:8-9 says, the master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. Huh? What? Acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of light. Now the Lord is fixing to shed a little light on this parable, and he's kind of let you know where he's going with this and what he's trying to teach us. One commentator may have said, he said maybe Jesus got his parables mixed up a little bit. Maybe he's just tired from all the teaching that he's doing. Or maybe we're just missing the point. And we need to look just a little bit deeper. You see, the steward was praised because he recognized the coming disaster of his guiltiness. He acted swiftly, gambling on the mercies of either the debtor or the landlord. You see, he knew he was in trouble, so he's trying to figure out a way that he can position himself not to be in trouble. And what this does is it reflects sinners who recognize their guilt and come in judgment, and they move quickly to respond to our Lord's offer of forgiveness and mercy. So, maybe this is just a parable about the kingdom of God, which makes sense because that's what our Lord, he's talking about in all these parables. He's constantly talking about the way the kingdom of God is. And it's a parable about using your worldly wealth for good things in this life, keeping a future hope in mind. Or maybe it's something more like this this particular comment from Matthew Henry. He says, the unjust steward is not set before us as an example in cheating his master or to justify any dishonesty, but to point out the careful ways that worldly men would be well, it would be well if the children of light would learn wisdom from the men of the world and would as earnestly pursue the better. So what the Lord is trying to tell us, and we're going to read it, and I'm going to come down a little closer to you because I want you to get this. And this is what the Lord says. Looking at verse 9. He says, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcome into eternal dwelling. The Lord is encouraging us to be shrewd, not to be dishonest, but he wants us to be wise in our dealings. Amen? He wants us to be wise in the way we handle our relationship, our money, our property, and the thing that he's given us, our children. He wants us to be wise and know how that we might be doing it. And then he brings out the kicker in verse 10. He says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. The Lord has given each one of us something in this life that he wants us to trust. He's trusting us with. He's given us this church, this building that he trusted us with. He wants us to take care of it. He's given us children. He's given us jobs and money. And he's trusting us
will take care of you.
Now, we can trust God and all that he says and does because we know our Lord does not lie. But can he trust us? Can he trust us? Can he trust us to do what we have to do? And he says, and reading on, he says, whoever is dishonest with very little would also be dishonest with much. What a bedrock principle that is, isn't it? Isn't that something? He says, whoever can be trusted with much, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. If the Lord can trust you with $10, he can trust you with $100. Amen? If he can trust you with $1,000, he can trust you with $2,000. If he trusts you with a one-bedroom home, can he trust you with a 10-bedroom home? You know, whatever he's given you, whatever he's given you, he wants to know if he can trust you with it. He's given you a job that makes $50 an hour. You ask him for a job that makes $100 an hour. Can he trust you? Have you been faithful with the $50 an hour job? That's what the Lord wants to know. He wants to know what you're doing with the things that he's given you here on this earth. Because believe me, folks, there's coming a time when we will all have to give an account of what he has trusted with. We will have to stand before the master and say, Ted, what did you do while you was on this earth? What did you do between your birth and your death? What did you do? Show me. Or he's going to show me. That's what the Lord's going to be looking for. He's going to want to know what you did. What you did with the time that he given you. Can you be trusted? And moving on, he says in verse 12, and if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? Isn't that awesome? Can't trust you with your own property. Why in the world would I give you? You know, be careful when you ask from the Lord, because he's going to want to know, can you be trusted with what he gave you? Lord, I need a new car. Well, you're going to take care of the one that I gave you. You know? He says, and if you have not been trustworthy with, okay, in verse 13, here's the kicker here, folks. Verse 13. This sums it all up. This is where Jesus is going with this parable. Verse 13. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. That's where he's going. He's trying to point us in the right direction, that our service, our trust ought to be in him, and our trust ought to be with the little thing that he's given us. I want to challenge you as you leave here today to look at the little things that you do, and make sure those little things are the right things that you do. And keep in mind that what God has given you, he's given for you to hold on to and to trust and to take care of. That's what the Lord does. Now, okay, question comes up again. Can God trust you? Can he trust you this morning? Can he trust you with all that you have? Or will you be one where he says, okay, I can't trust you with anything? You know, let me tell you this, folks. This is something, and I'll close. I used to wonder about church closing. Lord, why are there so many churches closing? What's going on here? I looked at different reasons, attendance, money, you know, that type of thing. But the one thing that I finally dawned on me said, maybe the Lord closed that church because he couldn't trust it. Maybe he couldn't because he just couldn't trust it. Maybe they couldn't be trusted with the resources that he's given. Maybe they just didn't want to follow his program. You see, sometimes I believe, folks, the Lord will get tired of you. And he'll call you into account of what he's given you to manage. I pray that Alamo United Methodist Church will always be in service where we are 2 or 20 or whatever, that we will never forget that we are to be in service for the Lord. We are to be bridges. We are to go about spreading the gospel in this community. Amen. Pray that the Lord will never, ever, ever put us on a shelf. And pray that we'll always have something to offer the Lord. And pray that the Lord will trust you. He'll trust you with whatever he has given you. And I thank God for what he's given us. I tell you, it's a blessing. Me and Tessa, we sit down sometime and we look in that, we sit around in that empty house and we look at each other and wander around and say, you know what? We thank God that, you know, all the kids and grandkids, they're grown. But we thank God that the Lord gave us joy with those kids and those children. And maybe that's the same way with you. He trusted us with those children. And we raised them the best way that we could under him. And I challenge you also to keep in mind that God has trusted you with a whole bunch of things. Trust him. Don't break his trust. Trust is very important. And stay close to the Lord. Let me read this verse, and then I'll sit down and go to the invitation. That verse we already read it this morning. I want to read it to you again. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. It's not my way, Lord, your way. Not my understanding, Lord, but what you want me to understand. In all your ways, everything that you undertake, everything, submit to him. And he will make your path straight. Can God trust you today? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we prepare for the invitation this morning, I want to give the invitation and the altar is open for anyone who wishes to come. Anyone who still has a doubt in their mind that they just can't trust God, or they're not sure if God can trust me. I can't answer that question, Pastor, because I don't know. I can't even trust myself. I invite you to give that to the Lord. Amen? Nothing is impossible for Jesus. I invite you to come to the altar, even in your seat. Then let the Lord handle it. Let him take care of your affairs. Let him put him in charge of your life. Trust him, because he can be trusted. And then on the other hand, hopefully he can trust you. Would you please stand, please, for the invitation.
Invitation is to trust and obey.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but a holy God richly we pay. Not a grief or a loss, not a crown or a cross, but it's blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delight of it until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows, for the joy he bestows, or for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Man. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. God bless you this morning. Amen. And don't forget, can God trust you? That's fine too. Hold someone's hand. If you can't, that's okay. I don't want you to move around too much. Amen. 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 Let's go to the Lord. Lord, we thank you this morning for teaching us how to trust. You showed us, Lord, that you want us to be shrewd, but you want us to be honest. And you want us, Lord, to always remember that it's the little things that we do that matter. And Lord, we ask that you would go with this congregation. As we go forward, Lord, that you would continue to bless them, to watch over them, their families. We pray this morning, Lord, for Gerda's brother. Lord, we know how hard it must be on her. We pray, Lord, that your healing hand would be upon her and help her. We pray for our dear brother Tom, who's suffering a recovery from an illness. We pray for Elaine and Jean, and we pray, Lord, for all those on our homebound list, those that can't come to church, and even those, Lord, even those whose names that are not called, but Lord, you know what's in our heart. We thank you for it. And Lord, we lift up Ken Austin this morning. We lift up his family, Lord, and we pray that you would help them, Lord, to take care of him and give him comfort and peace and watch over him, Lord. Lord, as he recovers from his illness. Be with Lance and be with Sonny. We thank you for both of them, Lord, and help them, Lord, to do what they need to do. Lord, we all need help. We all need a touch. We all need healing. So this morning I say, Lord, just thank you. Thank you for healing and touching all of us. And help us, Lord, to go forward from this place being your servant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Our closing hymn is Sweet Hour of Prayer.
Thank you.